church, was that important?
Church was the center of our lives. I don't even know if you could define it as important. It was more than important. I mean, it literally wrapped itself around us. And when your great-grandfather is a Baptist minister and well-known throughout the area, you had so many different people visiting our home. Black college presidents would visit our home, especially those who were presidents of colleges that had been founded by the black churches. So all of that was part of my life.
Songs that you learned in that Baptist church, probably still real to you today.
Very much so. I look back and remember clearly, and maybe understand even more today, the importance of church, not only for their spiritual life, but it was also the center of their social life as well, because everything else was legally segregated. Everything that was publicly owned, we could not participate in. So the church was ours. It was the social outlet, the religious outlet. It was the activity outlet. It was everything. Going to church on the fourth Sunday. And the reason I know the fourth Sunday, because that's the Sunday that the pastor came. And he would preach his rousing sermon. But what I remember most is the deacons. These were the men who would lead the prayer service on the Sunday mornings. And on Sundays, they would still have on khaki pants and khaki shirt and their tie. But their brogans would be shining. Their shoes would be shining. They would pull a chair up to the front of the church. And they would get on their knees. But before, they would walk from their seats where the deacons had a special place. And they would walk to the front of the church. And on their way walking, they would sing what we know as a Dr. Watts hymn. And they would always sing, "Before this time another year, I may be dead and gone, but I'll let you know before I go where I'll be." I would always remember that. Because their lives were so chancy. And they understood the chanciness of their lives. And they used those times to reaffirm their life, to reaffirm their faith, and to deal with the reality of being black in a segregated world.
I lived up north in a Lutheran church, but I'm sure that if you name some songs, and you could, I'm sure now, I sang them too. But they probably had more meaning to you as a black person than people up north.
You know, I would think so, because I remember the songs as being extraordinarily passionate. I remember them as being a telling of a story. Let's say you had a bad day, a bad week. Picking cotton was no fun, so don't let anybody tell you it was fun. It wasn't. Chopping cotton from sun up to sundown was even worse. And I would say 85 to 90% of the people who were not maids or butlers or tractor drivers would spend their lives either picking or chopping cotton. So when they would come to church on Sunday morning, it was kind of like a cathartic event, I call it. You had a chance to say, "You may work me till I can't move, but I have this moment now and I'm okay."
Yeah. I was going to save this till later, but we had a royal wedding last weekend, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I don't know if you watched it or not.
Barbara and I got up at 3 o'clock. We watched every bit of it.
The Bishop of the Episcopal Church of America, Mike Murray, was there to speak.
Right.
And he referenced Martin Luther very close to the beginning. Then he referenced a balm in Gilead.
Right.
And a balm in Gilead had to have a better meaning to you than maybe it did to somebody in North Dakota.
Right. Or the audience that heard him say that, especially those audience who were royalty or friends of royalty. You know, a balm is a healing substance. It is there to get rid of hurt and to give you some reason to believe that life's going to be better, that you're going to be okay. But if your life has always been good, you don't quite understand the importance of that phrase, a balm in Gilead. But coming from Glen Allen, Mississippi, during the era of legal segregation, I clearly understood everything he said.
He quoted, "There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul." When he said that, I remembered it. And then I thought about you immediately, because I knew we would be talking, that had to have special meaning.
Yeah,
you sang that song in your church.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, that was typical because you're always looking for that thing to change that other thing, to make you feel better, to give you a reason to purpose your life continuously.
You must have felt proud and happy to see that bishop who was standing in front of royalty, and his style is so much different than their ministers preach. I don't know what his background was. Could be somebody similar to yours. Had to make you feel good.
I think the whole thing was a message from my perspective. Unplanned, but planned. Unrehearsed, yet rehearsed. Yeah. But a message of mass proportion. Very seldom do you talk about a wedding a week later.
Right.
But that was more than a wedding. It was, to me, symbolic gesture as what can be. And I think it spoke that loud and clear. I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to meet Harry and Meghan, but that's one of my objectives. I was so impressed with their touching. I was so impressed with their leaning into each other because it was them, but it was also symbolic to a great extent of all of us. We have the ability to lean into each other should we choose. We have the ability to touch each other should we choose. And we have the ability to live our lives together should we choose.
For the record, which would be recorded in many other places in this, Meghan Markle is half black and half white. So that invitation to the bishop came obviously because of her.
Right.